I'd like to turn tonight to Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter, and notice one verse over here, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 12 says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." The thought I want us to look at and consider tonight is rest. And we have had in the last 12 months, for lack of better, maybe a better time frame, it seems like there's been a lot of unrest in the world. There's been a lot of unrest in our nation. And many of us here have had things that are unrestful that has happened in our own individual lives. But all of us like rest, no matter how much you enjoy excitement, and no matter how much you may be enthused about accomplishing a task, and maybe you have some real serious and tall objectives to achieve in your life, I'm sure that all of us relish rest. I remember a number of years ago now, I think the other two are here that I travel with, I believe it was in the fall of 1992. Brother Doug Wall and my brother-in-law Clifford Cole and I, we'd worked all day and got in, drove down to where Brother Doug was living in Fort Smith, and at that time, and we loaded down his van to where just three of us could fit in, and we had stuff strapped on the top. And we headed off for Gould's. And we drove all night Friday and all day Saturday and part of the night Saturday night, and got there about 1 o'clock Sunday morning to Sister Hargrave's house that had been damaged by the hurricane. And took our sleeping bags in, and their house had a cement floor, and we just rolled out our sleeping bags, and we were weary from traveling. We were kind of all pumped up, and we had little young families, and we were catching up on all the news and getting reacquainted from being fathers and husbands and all of that. None of us had been married a long time then, and so we were not emotionally drained. We were encouraging one another and relaying experiences and all those kind of things. And so rolled out that sleeping bag on that slab floor and laid down on it, because tomorrow we was going to work cleaning up rubbish and making repairs. And I don't know about the rest of them, but I didn't sleep much that night. And Brother Dan Doolittle was in, Dan Gillenbeck was there, and he got up way before daylight to go to wait in line at a lumber yard to get materials. And so that disturbed us. And he got back about daylight with, I don't remember what all now, some things to work with. And so we were up at daylight and we worked all day long. And come time for the sun went down, we didn't have any electricity in the house. So we had running water, though. We went in and took a cold shower and put our clothes on for the next day. Laid down on that sleeping bag, and I slept better the next night. And by Friday, you'd been hard pressed to convince me that bed wasn't as good as the one I had at home, because we were totally exhausted. Every day we was up and working physically by the time the sun was up, and we worked till we couldn't see any longer, and then we cleaned up and stretched out again. And I'm going to tell you, that sleeping bag on a concrete floor felt good by Friday night. So I know what it's like to relate and say that the rest of a laboring man is sweet. But as I think about rest, I recognize that there's a lot of different kinds of rest that we're anticipating and looking forward to in life. And I'd like for us to turn over maybe to Hebrews. Thank you. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. I'd like for us to look at this chapter a little bit in depth tonight. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He spake in a certain day on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. I know a lot of times we consider this, some of these verses to talking about our spiritual rest and a resting from my own efforts to bring peace and solace in our own minds and our own heart. And I don't have any problem applying it to that in our experience today, but I think this is talking about, this whole chapter is talking about an ultimate rest for mankind. And I want to challenge us here tonight, when we hear things that disturb rest. And there was a time in my life that when I was physically tired, bad news disturbed me, but it really didn't take my rest away. But I'm going to tell you, I'm at an age bracket in my life now where I can be physically exhausted. I'm ready to sleep on a concrete floor, on a sleeping bag, so to speak. And when someone gives me something that's distressful to me, the ability for me to rest physically seems to just kind of evaporate. And my anticipation of maybe showering and laying down in my bed at the house and going to sleep, it just like it goes out the window. When things that are stressful to us, that rest seems to take second place. And there's something else that keeps our minds going and we can't, it's just like we can't shut it down and we don't know what to do with it. And we try to take our troubles to the Lord and maybe we talk to our spouse about it and maybe we just feel that we're in a quandary that we don't know how to get out of. And I want you to know that rest from that kind of thing is something that I relish. To have a peace of mind. It can be temporal things that go awry. It can be other things that cause us to be unrestful. I like rest in that area. And I want us to be encouraged tonight, if you don't have rest in your soul today, I want to challenge us to pursue a rest that where we can look with confidence to interacting with others that truly love the Lord and not feel guilt and condemnation in our everyday lives. That's an important component of rest that we all need. It's beneficial to us. A person that's well rested is one that's more alert. It's more able to perform. And another time in my life, It was a hot summer day, and I had been physically active, and I come home and cleaned up and then drove to Dallas. And that was about a six-hour drive for me. So I've got cleaned up, and I'm sitting in an air-conditioned car, and I'm driving down the road. I left the house maybe about 6 o'clock, and by the time I got to Dallas, it was midnight, and I'm real thankful there wasn't many other people on the road, because they had 3 lanes on each side, and I was using all 3 lanes. And I'd kind of go off this way, and I'd wake myself up, and the next thing I knew, I was over on this side, and all of a sudden, there was these red and blue lights come on behind me, and then started the process to convince them that I wasn't intoxicated. And it all happened because I wasn't rested, see. I got in a very sticky situation. And I thought for a minute that maybe they were going to take me in someplace or something, because a lack of rest had caused me to perform in a manner that was dangerous to myself. It was dangerous to other people. So rest is something that, it's not an optional thing. It's not have some rest once a week or once a month or something like that. Rest is something that we ought to pursue, that we ought to have an appetite for in our everyday lives. Rest, physical rest, yes. We ought to look for a rest that we can have is in peace and confidence with our fellow man. If you're at an unrestful state with those that you associate with, it distracts you. Your performance is hindered. If you're suspicious and you're questioning others that you're working around, you're going to be thinking about that than the task that you need to be performing. And accidents will happen, and maybe you'll be interrogated because of poor performance. But more than that, we need rest in our relationship with the Lord. Read a little more here. I was thinking about what we have read. This talks about us having a fear and an apprehension lest the promise that was left us, that it got away from us. A promise of entering in to rest. It talks about those that had heard it, but they didn't mix it with any belief, any faith. They didn't put it in application, and it got away from us. You know, every generation from the beginning of time has had a promise and an invitation for a restful state with God. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve was created, and I can't imagine the Garden of Eden being anything but a restful state. It was peaceful. God's presence came down. He communed with them. I can just imagine that in the end of the day, and when the sun went down and they went to sleep, and the next morning when they awoke, they felt completely rested, and they felt invigorated and fresh and ready for a new day. And then, of course, sin came in and disturbed that rest. And sin began to it began to grow and to manifest itself in many areas. And it began to cause more complicated issues. And as generation past generation has went along, everyone has had opportunities to be acquainted with the Lord through some means or other. And many, many, many people have rejected that and chose to not enter into a rest with the Lord. It says here, beginning in the 8th verse, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" I thought Jesus came to give us rest. Well, he did. He came to give us a rest in our mind and in our soul today, where we can have confidence with the Lord. That's why I believe this chapter is pointing us beyond to another rest, a rest beyond this life. He says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." We usually take these two verses here to mean those that have experienced salvation. And I believe it applies to that. I believe that we must enter into that rest. We can have a rest and be free from guilt and condemnation in this life. In this literal existence, we can be free from that unrestful, nervous feeling of wondering if God really knows and he really understands. We can be free of that in this world. And that's a rest that's just as appealing to me as a rest after a long, hard day of physical work. It's something that I want. I want to maintain it. I want those around me to be able to taste it. And really, there are so many people that they don't know what that rest is. They just constantly avoid real rest. They have all kinds of things out there to numb their senses and their mind to where rest is. It's an real rest in their spirit is something that's kind of an imaginary thing. It's not reality. It's some kind of virtual, non-existent thing. But I'm telling you that through the grace of God, we can have that rest in our spirits today. But I still think we're pointing to something that's beyond that. He says in the 11th verse, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." The generations in the past, whether it's in the dispensation we live in, or whether it's in the dispensation of the Old Testament, or whatever age mankind has lived in, there's been those that have not availed themselves of a rest in their relationship with the Lord. So there's a challenge for us today to not lose that opportunity to find that rest. He says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Lord knows tonight what your state of rest is. He knows how much peace you really have in your soul and in your spirit. It goes on to say here, "even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." He began this chapter talking about a rest and challenging us to have a fear and apprehension lest we would forget or we would lose the promise of entering in to a rest with the Lord. And now he's saying that the word of God is quick and powerful. Not my words, not anyone else's words, but the word of God. The word that's we have here in the scripture, and the word that the Lord can speak to your spirit and your soul tonight. And as we're standing up here and speaking here tonight, I know the Lord can go around this room and he can speak right down in the most inaccessible parts of our heart. We heard the other night about having our heart right. And not just going through the motions, but having it really down inside who we really are and what we really feel like. And I want us to know that we can have a rest there. We can be at rest there, not agitated. I don't like a feeling of agitation. I like to be at a restful state. It's probably age or whatever you want to say, but you know, I like a recliner now a lot more than I used to. It feels good to sit down and put your feet up. And those kind of things, it's more and more, it's appealing to me, see? And rest is such a, it's something that you relish in. It's something that some people might want to soak in a tub of hot water and bubble bath or something like that. And somebody else, you might want someone to rub your feet or your back or your neck or just the thought of resting and relaxing. And our world around us is consumed with pursuing rest, aren't they? They're looking for some kind of peace and solace out there, retirement years and all that. Do they really have it? Do they have the rest that we can have through the Lord? I would say that not a lot does. But as we are thinking here tonight, I'd like to ask the Spirit of the Lord to go and be able to go in there between the soul and the spirit and divide between the thoughts and intents of our heart. Are you restful? Are you at rest? Or are you on edge? Are you nervously anticipating the next event? And the next, now what's going to happen? Have you ever maybe you had some of those thoughts tonight when some of the burdens were being expressed and maybe something came to your mind and, well, what's next? And it's not very restful, is it? Maybe there's something going on in the back of your head and there's something that you just can't totally lay it down, and there's something that's causing you to be disturbed and distressed, and some of you eat more because of it, and some of you don't eat at all. Some of you see what I'm saying? There's so many avenues to try to get some kind of peace or solace. I'm looking for rest. That's really what I want, but I don't know how to fix this. I believe there's a promise of rest to every one of us. Some people do things to their appearance, trying to find acceptance, approval. They want rest from disapproval. Yeah. You see? I believe this rest is available to us. And the Lord knows, every one of us. Are you really at peace? Do you really have rest tonight? He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. He can go right down in there. We had a little discussion this afternoon. A young man come to me and, how do we know what's soul and what's spirit? Well, I've heard some explanation on that, but the point here that I feel like we all have got to get a hold of is that the spirit can tell the difference. And it is so precise. So precisely the spirit can tell you tonight if you really have rest. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We might put on a smile. We might put on a facade. We might put on some good actions, as we heard the other evening. We might be able to hide and not disclose our sense of unrest to some other people, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows. He knows if you have rest or not. He knows if we have. There's no creature that's not manifested in his eyes. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Our profession is that we can have rest in this life and in the one to come. It says here, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He is touched with your feelings of unrest. Yes. Have you ever picked up on your spouse not being at rest and not being peaceful about something? You come into the house and there's maybe some expressions or some physical actions or words or lack of words or just kind of a something that's hanging in the air sometimes. Not things aren't real restful. What do you do? I hope you try to find out what the trouble is, because if you don't have rest, if you don't have peace, maybe you lay down and just about the time you're drifting off, they say, by the way. And then what happens to your rest? You may have just, this bed feels so good and I'm so tired. And they tell you some event that has disturbed their rest. And then all of a sudden your hopes of rest just went out the window. And you're up pacing the floor now. You see, rest is so valuable for us. We have an high priest which cannot be... We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what it's like to be pressed with unrestful feelings. He knows what it's like to be distressed and pressed on every side. He understands that. He's touched with those feelings. And we can take it to Him, it says. The next verse says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, if you don't have rest tonight, you don't have rest in your home, we can bring that to the Lord. You don't have rest in your spirit. If you're feeling guilty and there's condemnation there and there's something that's keeping you from being at rest, we can bring that to the Lord. We can come boldly to the Lord. We can come and expect Him to help us with that sense of unrest that we have. And when we bring it to Him and we begin to unload our troubles and our problems, you know how it is when little children, they come in and they're all in tears and their emotions are all tore up, and they come to their parent and they begin to explain all of their misfortunes, and when they get it all unloaded and the parent maybe soothes them a little bit and gives them a kiss and says, "Now really, it's going to be all right." And the little child, in a matter of a very short period of time, you see them get down and they go about their play with a smile on their face, and they got rid of the trouble. See, they're at rest. And we're all children of God, aren't we? With the help of the Lord. And we can bring our troubles to the Lord. So if you got something that's causing you to be unrestful and your rest is all in a turmoil and you don't know where to turn and you feel like you've shared your troubles with somebody else and they didn't have a solution and they said, "Oh my, I don't know what I would do." And you just adds to your confusion. It's time to take it to the Lord. It's not time to begin just suffer with your unrestful. It's time to take it to the Lord. It's time to come boldly to Him. It's not to come and beat around the bush and hope that He figures, He knows. But it's good for us to open up and say, "Lord, this is what's bothering me. This is what's distressing me. This is what's causing me all my trouble and all of my grief. And I'm just going to spill it all out to You." And when we do that, He's able to kind of sort it out. Give you a little illustration. On my job, I don't know how other people do my occupation altogether. I make some observations sometimes, but I have some little metal trays that look like little drawers out of a parts cabinet. And when I'm disassembling something, especially if it's something that I'm familiar with, I just take the bolts out and throw them in this tray. I'm just throwing them in there. When it gets ready to put it back together, then I start sorting them out. And I may take them over there and dump them on a workbench and sort them out by length or the size. You'd be surprised how many things you can match up that way. But I begin to try to get some order to it. And you know, sometimes life is like a big bucket of bolts. It's just all kinds of little bolts and nuts and things that you don't hardly know how to make heads or tails of. You don't know which two fit together and what hole they go in and how many there are. And it's just a mess. And you know this much, you're not at much peace. You don't have much rest about it. I remember another time that a friend of mine in high school, I don't remember what grade we were in. We were pretty good friends. And he took his motorcycle apart. I mean, really apart. And put it all in a box or two. And it set a winter or so. And he finally got enough money to buy pieces to fix it. And then he started looking at that box full of parts. And he's the one that took it apart, not me. And finally he gave up on it, and he said, "Do you think you could put that together?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but I'll try." So if you never put something together that someone else took apart, it can be quite a challenge. So I took it home, and I just, you might say, dumped it out, and you started lining things up. Well, I got this many bolts of this size and this many of this size, and then you start looking for that number of holes and seeing if you can make any kind of sense or order to it. So there's a lot of things that can bring confusion, unrest, disturbance to our peace, our tranquility that all of us want. And it's time to bring our boxes and our buckets and our sacks and all the things that it's time to bring them and pour them out before the Lord.
Amen.
It's not a time to forget the promise of the rest that the Lord can give us in our minds, in our spirits, and in our soul. It's time to bring our things to the Lord and pour them out before Him and let Him begin to start making some order and some sense out of it and start dividing the things out and discerning between the things we need to throw out and the things we need to save. I'd like to turn to Revelations, the 14th chapter. There's an ultimate rest that we want to obtain, is there not? Revelations chapter 14, beginning in verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them."
Amen.
An ultimate rest is to be at peace with God through eternity. No matter how good that sleeping bag on a concrete floor felt after a week of hard work, that don't even hold a candle to be in eternity with the Lord. And no matter how much I relish having peace and rest with my wife and my family, that don't hold a candle to being at rest with the Lord through eternity. The opposite of that. Can you imagine having everything else restful and tranquil and everything just going smooth through life and then spending eternity in hell? None of us want that. Last Sunday afternoon, my wife and I went to the cemetery. Two of them. Went to the cemetery where our little daughter that was born 23 years ago almost, and her mother was buried. We put some fresh flowers on the grave, and then we drove to the cemetery where my parents are buried. My mother passed this past June, and that's been one of those things that has been very tumultuous in my life in the last year. So, standing there looking down at the words on the stones, the dates, the time that it represented, and thinking about the rest that their physical body was in. We sometimes call that laying someone to rest. But I was struck with the thought that all of those that we visited are experiencing a rest that I want. Their rest with the Lord. The promise that has been left to us. It's been to every generation of mankind is that we can have a rest through eternity with God. I'm so thankful that as I looked on those gravestones, that I had the rest in my own mind, in my own spirit, that they were at rest. They were experiencing this rest that I'm trying to talk to you about tonight. That's the most incredible comfort that any of us can ever have. Well, I'd like to read some more in this book of Revelations, 14th chapter. He says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, and for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." There's going to be a reaping of those that are ripe. There's something about harvesting something that is not ripe that's not very satisfying. If you harvest something that's premature or over cured, if the conditions aren't ripe, the harvest isn't very satisfactory. But it said here that the harvest of earth is ripe. It's ready. To be ready to enter into the rest that God has for us. It's been prepared, Hebrews said, when we read there, since the foundation of the world. It's been there for us, for the generation that went just before us, and the many, many generations before them since the beginning of time. And that rest is available for us. We can have rest in this life, but we can be prepared to be ripe and ready for a rest through eternity. But that's not the only harvest that's going to happen. Notice it goes on a little more to the end of the chapter. "And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over the fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had a sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." I don't know what you think about a winepress, but I think of being crushed. I think of something that is overpowering. And it's also used in the same sentence with the wrath of God. So just as things that bring us unrest in our lives today seem to accumulate and get bigger and bigger, And something that may have been able to take care, been taken care of with a very small, I'm sorry, excuse me, maybe a small correction in something that we're doing, can escalate to where it's overpowering, completely out of control. If we allow our soul's condition to remain in an unrested state, and we know there's something going on there, we know there's something that's not really right in our heart, we're constantly having to suppress the same reaction to the same type of situation. We don't have a real peace and a real rest. The invitation here tonight is that we can put in, we can bring our bucket of bolts, whatever you got. Maybe you got a box full of parts and you don't know where any of them go. We can bring those to the Lord tonight. And we can pour them out, figuratively speaking, on the altar from the Lord, in front of the Lord, and allow Him to begin to sort through the things. One of the things I found in the little motorcycle project I had was I found that there were things that needed to be replaced. Some things I could use, and other things I needed to replace. And the Lord is going to help us be able to sort through and determine the things that are salvageable and the things that just need to be discarded. You know, one of the most gratifying experiences I've had, especially as a young man, is riding that motorcycle when I got it put together. That was very fulfilling. And you know, the most gratifying thing that can ever happen to a human soul is to enter into that rest that's promised for you and it's promised for me. And the most horrific thing that can ever happen to us is get to the reaping at the end of life and recognize that we still got our box full of parts. We still got this jumble of confusion and unrest, and we're taking it with us, we think. And it's all going to be put in to the winepress of God's wrath. So the invitation is open here tonight. If you have unrest in your soul and you have unrest in your mind and there's a turmoil going on and you don't know how to quieten it and you don't know how, it's just the same old thing keeps coming up over and over. There's feelings of whatever it is. You know, the Lord knows. It says that the word of the Lord is quick and it's sharp. It's able to discern where we all are tonight. And if His Spirit is putting the edge on something that's causing unrest and turmoil, and you recognize I got this box of garbage and I don't like carrying this thing around. I want to see something that's constructive. I want to be beneficial in my home, in my family, in my life, in my community, in the body of Christ. Do you think it might not help us? Rest is important, folks. It's important. It's going to be important for us all to rest tonight so we can be alert tomorrow. But more important than that is to have a rest in our soul and our spirit. You pray for me.